So this week's Torah portion is Bereshit. So as we open the scroll, this is what you would see. So we have Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim vaet haaretz. Or, in the beginning, Yahweh made the heavens, hashamayim, and the earth, haaretz. He created them. Now, there are a number of things I want to focus on. It seems like the focus today is going to be on Cain and Abel, and specifically sin. So we're going to start with Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to Yahweh. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And Yahweh respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now, there's a lot of words in there. And you go, yeah, I understand that. No big deal. That by itself is already a problem. If we have read something and go, I understand it, no big deal, then we miss out on every little nuance. We also miss out on the ability to learn. Okay? So, just a few words to make a point, and you're going to see that this, while it may have the same meaning, has a lot more of a depth of meaning. The name Cain means possessions, to have. The name Abel is breath. Now, what's intriguing is, do you realize that he who is his offering was not respected, well, he only brought something, right? But his name meant possessions, right? And he whose name meant breath, well, he brought the firstborn and the fat, the best. Now, do you realize that the possessions in the end kill the breath? Take a moment, let that sink in. The possessions kill the breath as a focus. That's just one layer. Let's start another layer. How about this word respected? We see respected. Oh yeah, he respected it. This word respected means that he turned towards it. He focused on it. Like the light of his face shined down upon it. The way I see it is like a father looking over a son's report card or something he's done, and he's just got this huge smile. He's radiating, and a child is looking at this face going, Now, notice that this idea of respected means to face, to look at. Okay? Then it says, he did not. So we don't know if Yahweh didn't even look at Cain's offering. But one way or another, he was not smiling. Now, isn't it interesting? This all deals with the face, and what happens to Cain? His face fell. Because Yahweh's face was one of being upset. It's almost like Cain saw that, and it just passed right on to him. Genesis 4, 6 to 7. So Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now, this is the key phrase right here. This is the key verse that we're looking at today. I want to go over some words. If you do well, this would be the idea of right or good, you will be accepted. You're like, okay, to be accepted, that word means exalted, to rise up. If you do well, if you do good, will you not be exalted? Notice that his entire features and face went from like this they fell. If you do good, will you not be accepted? He goes on from there, and if you do not do good or right, this is the key phrase here, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. When I came into this reality of following Yahweh, the person who led me in never told me about spiritual warfare. I don't know about you, but they didn't tell me there was going to be spiritual warfare. And you know, when I came upon that first reality of spiritual warfare, guess what? I felt like there must be something wrong with me. What's wrong with my faith? Why do I feel so afraid? And I can tell you, at the time that I was going through this spiritual warfare, there were thoughts of hurting myself. There were thoughts, it was so bad, where the thoughts were coming in constantly, and I could not get those thoughts out of my mind. Where I was sitting back going, if this is what it's going to cost to follow Yahweh, I don't want to do that. Now, some may be looking at me, I've never been there, and I'm glad you've never been there. But those who have been there, you know what I'm talking about. And everything in this verse deals with that. Notice the point here of these key words. Sin, where is it? It's lying at the door. And its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. Those are some key words. Let's look at those words. So we have lies, door, desire, and rule. Well, what is that word lies? That word is ravatz. It means to lie down or to stretch out, to wait. The word door is pithak. It means an entrance, a door, an opening. Desire, teshuka, craving, longing of a beast to devour. And rule, mashal, it means to reign, to rule, and to exercise dominion. Okay, you got all that? So let's go back to the verse. Sin lies at the door. It is literally stretched out waiting for you. And it's not leaving. In fact, not only is it not waiting, leaving, it's waiting for that door to show any level of opening up. It only needs just a little bit of an opening for this beast to get in and devour us. And remember, it's waiting because it's got a huge hunger to consume you. Now, it's lying at the door. That's intriguing. Yeshua says he's what? The door. We come through the Word into the presence of Yahweh. But you know what? The sin didn't care about you before you entered that door. But the minute you enter that door, well, now you are going to be the prey and it's the predator. It didn't care about you before, it does now. And again, that's an entryway, that's a place we cross over. Its desire is for you, it hungers to destroy you, to gobble you up. Yahweh goes, but you shall rule over it. He is asking that we rule over our own sin. Now, for any of us that have struggled against our own sin, we know this is not easy. It is not easy. So I wanted to bring up examples of this idea of how sin is. And so I thought of some Messiah's parables. One of them he brings up is the idea of the seed on the path, the rocky ground, among the weeds and the soil. And you may be like, what does that mean? Well, those seeds are supposed to be his word, right? Well, the minute the seeds go down, the enemy comes in to steal them. Right? But if that didn't work, then the rocks take over. Where are, do you get the roots down into the Word? That's where I started today. Did you just go, yeah, I read it, I understand it? Or did you actually get the roots into the Word where it got down deep? If that didn't happen, well, he's going to send out all these weeds to be around you. And you're going to see the weeds. And you're like, those weeds are growing so fast. Maybe I could be like them. You let them stay there. And that goes to our next one. The weeds planted. The scripture talks about tares or weeds. This man went and planted a field and put all the grain in. And then the servant comes back and says, someone snuck in the night and just put all these weeds among all the wheat. Raise your hand if you've ever planted a weed. No one plants weeds. How do they get there? I don't know, but they get there fast and they grow immensely. Leave your garden for a day, I promise it will not be a garden of produce. Just like sin sitting at the door, it's looking for any opening. The weeds will overwhelm what's in the soil. Matthew 12, 27 and 29. I want to give context to the whole chapter. In this chapter, Yeshua is dealing with the teachings of the elders about this idea of washing the hands. This false truth being passed down. And that leads into this idea of him casting out demons from sort of an unclean spirit. And that's Matthew 12, 27 and 29. So this is what it says. If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they say they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of Elohim, surely the kingdom of Elohim has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, plunder his possessions? That's Cain, right? Plunder his possessions. Unless he first binds the strong man. Can't do it without binding the strong man. And then he will plunder his house. Now this actually has a double meaning here, because what Yeshua is actually trying to make a point is, I have to bind, I have to have power over Satan to steal back the souls that are Yahweh's. I have to have power over the strong one. But you know what? There's also the meaning, you know what? When the demon wants to come into you, and remember, the whole idea was we see demons being cast out of people. The strong man still has to be bound up for him to come in. Has to be. So where do we get our strength? Where does a strong man get his strength to fight against this carnivorous animal? That's whole goal, sin, is to consume you. I'm just going to bring a few verses. We'll start with Genesis 49, 24. But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty Elohim of Jacob. We are made strong how? By Yahweh. Deuteronomy 11, 18. Sorry, 11:8. This is an important one. Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be what? Strong, and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess. Obeying, and what's intriguing here is that word keep, everybody. Therefore, you shall keep. There are two words usually dealing with Shabbat and his commands. One is keep, one is observe. You're like, why do we have two words for it? Well, observe means you do it. That's pretty simple. As long as you actually do it, you're observing it. But keeping is something totally different. Keeping is protecting. So when you're sitting there and you feel like, well, you know what, we can make an allowance for this. We don't have to do that, this command, or we don't need to do this. And we let it continue, right? It starts off with one little compromise. And then another compromise. We didn't keep the wall. We didn't keep the fortifications. And you know what? The further we retreat, the more the enemy has, the more he has power over us. We have to keep the wall of the commands. They are meant to be a protection for us, but we have to keep them. Just like a garden. You let a garden go for a week, I promise you, you have 10 times more work than it would be if you kept it every single day. I promise. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For Yahweh Elohim, He is the one that goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. This is the next verse, 31:7. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which Yahweh has sworn to your fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Now it's intriguing, he's saying, be of good courage because I'm taking you in. Remember, this whole thing started with the door and coming in. He's not done. You almost think that Joshua's going, all right already. 31:23, then he inaugurated Joshua, son of Nun, and said, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land of which I swore to them, and I will be with you. Be strong. 2 Samuel 22:18. Listen to this verse. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They were too strong for me, but He delivered me from them. 2 Chronicles, this actually is one of my favorite verses. And it's hidden in Chronicles. You wouldn't even believe it. It's in Chronicles. Listen to this. 16:9. For the eyes of Yahweh run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him. He's going to and fro throughout the whole earth, going, where are my children? I'm going to show myself strong to them. Constantly moving to show us that. So what does Saul say about this? Now before I get to Saul, I have to do a quick summary for us to understand this. Yahweh went in the garden, He gave him one simple command. Right? Don't eat of this tree. All the other trees were made pleasing to the eye, right, and good for food. This one tree said, don't eat of it. Satan comes in, another voice, another Elohim, and he says, no. This is a good tree. Not only is it pleasant to the eyes and good for food, but it will give you wisdom, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And who do they listen to? Satan. This is his teaching, his command, his law. So even in a garden, you have two laws at work. One law that leads us to life following Yahweh's commands. Remember, we're made strong by His commands. We're made weak by the commands of the enemy. So let's see what Saul says. This is Romans chapter 7, verses 8 through 10. A lot of times this is used to try and disqualify the law, the Torah. But it's not. Listen to this. But sin, taking the opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the teaching, I'm using teaching instead of law. Your scriptures are going to say law. Apart from the teaching, sin was dead. And I was alive once without the teachings. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Once Yahweh gave us a word, guess what? Sin's coming up on us and he wants to kill us. Before that, we weren't a big deal. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. Now, it doesn't mean the commandment. It means that there was such a ferocious that we were letting the sin in, that commandment that was meant to bring me life, I actually was allowing to bring death into my life. Verses 18 to 20. For I know that in me, this is addition, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. It means to want or purpose. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I do, I will, I want to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin who dwells in me. Now a lot of people jump up and say, well, here's the verse I've been waiting for. Yahweh, I don't sin. You can't convict me of it. It's a sin in me. Who opened the door? Who opened the door? There was an old movie. It's a cheesy movie called The Last Dragon. Cheesy movie. 80s. African-American in Brooklyn, but he's called Bruce Leroy. I told you it was cheesy. But there's a scene at the end of the movie where the bad guy is sitting there and he keeps going, "Who's the master? Who's the master?" Continues putting him in the water. Right? Here's the reality. When you open that door to sin, sin doesn't come in to live with you. Sin comes to come in and master you. To lord over you. Check every addiction or problem we have in this world. They'll say, I have to have another cigarette. I have to have another bit of that material. I have to. I can't live without it. It is the master. The sin that dwells within me is mastering me. It's gobbling me up and it's taking over. Again, Paul didn't mean the point of, Yahweh can't really convict me. No, we open the door. Romans 7:21, for I find then a teaching, the evil is present with me, and the one who wills to do good. So in me, there is a part of me that desires to do evil, and in me, there is a part of me that desires to do good. Right there, side by side. We're not talking like the enemy sitting out miles away from you. Inside of you, there's a part of you that's going, get that door open. Wide open. Chapter 22:23 of Romans. For I delight in the teachings of Elohim according to the inward man. But I see another teachings in my members, warring against the teachings of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the teachings of sin, which is in my members. There is a battle going on within us. And that sin, which is at the door of our mind, which is in our body, wants to get in and take over your mind and have control over you. And that battle is a daily process. And you know what? The moment you let down your guard, I promise you, it's coming in. That's what it's waiting for. Genesis 4:6-7. I'm just going to start here. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desires for you. But you should rule over it. He's asking for us to rule over the part of us that's trying to give in to sin, to reign over it. Rule over it, and I'm bringing back that word. Yahweh says, keep my commandments. By them you are made strong. And I think about the idea of this. Each one of us, whether it's Shabbat or the literal commandments, we are standing on the wall of a fortress. That fortress was built for us to protect us by His Word. But we're literally on that wall, watching every day what we allow into the fortress and what goes out. If we're going to allow false teachings to come in, we've already allowed sin in the door. Whose voice are we listening to? Right? That leads me to my final conclusion, or final verse, actually. Maybe. Is there another one there? Ah, Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve Yahweh, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the Elohims which your fathers served, or were on the other side of the river, or the Elohim of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. Here's my last thought. Notice in this verse, there is no choice that you get to serve yourself. There is no, I get to be in the middle ground. We're either going to serve sin or we're going to serve Yahweh. Yahweh is a very thin path. Everything outside of that path is sin. Right, left, or backwards. And to any degree. And this has to be a choice every single day. That I'm going to put up a barrier for myself, whether through prayer, through worship, through meditation, I'm putting up a barrier. I am getting ready. The minute I wake up, I'm literally getting my consciousness, my mind ready for the battle, because sin is sitting there waiting for one little misstep, including anger, frustration, and how quickly we give in to them. I promise. But you know what? Yahweh can still fight out sin from our life. It's a lot of hard work and it hurts. But whatever we've let in, He can still get out. Because you know what? As strong as the enemy is, He's like Goliath to David. Because no one is like Yahweh. I don't care if He's 13 feet tall. Nothing compared to Yahweh saying a word in creating the universe. And that's the Yahweh we have. The one that protects us and guides us. And who we depend on. Baruch Hashem.